Okay, so last week we went through the story of Avshalom and Tamar. How Avshalom violated his sister, his half-sister. We spoke about how halachically they were not siblings because Tamar was the daughter of an Eshes Yifas Toyar, which meant that David was intimate with her mother in the battlefield before she was Jewish. Since she was born from a mother who was not Jewish, she was not considered the sibling of Amnon, and that's why they were allowed to get married. But Amnon did not choose that path. Rather, he chose to force himself on her, and this was a very devastating action, which caused Tamar to become depressed. She never left the house anymore. She stayed in the house of her brother, Avshalom. Chazal say that after this whole episode, that's when Chazal were goyzer al yichud. That's when they came up with a ruling that a man is not allowed to be in a private audience of a woman, even many women. There are different rules for yichud, but the general rule is that they're not allowed to be in the same room for a certain amount of time. This applies to many different situations. It could apply to, you know, a young couple who's dating. Even if they're outside, they're not in a closed room. Even if they're outside, they have to be in a place where there's people. They have to be in a place where at least every 4 minutes you have someone that will be walking by. And the closed room is even a shorter amount of time. In any case, this whole decree was taken out because of this whole story with Tamar and Amnon. Because what Amnon did to Tamar, this happened because Amnon was able to be in a private audience with Tamar. If he was not allowed to be with her in a private audience, in a private space, in a private room, this would not happen. And that's why Chazal were goyzer al yichud. Okay, so let's continue and see what happens next. So Pasuk of Gimel continues. Ve'elish nasayim yomim. 2 years after this, ba'yu goyzizim l'Avshalom b'val chatzar asher im Ephraim. Avshalom had sheep that were being groomed. Ve'ikra Avshalom b'chol b'nei HaMelech. Avshalom invited all the princes, all the sons of David HaMelech. He invited them to this party. Back in the day, anytime they would groom their sheep was a happy event. It was a joyous event. They would make a whole big party out of it. So Avshalom is now inviting everybody to come. Vayavai Avshalom el HaMelech. Avshalom approaches the king. Vayomer, he tells him, Hinena goyzizim l'avdecha. The time has come and they are now grooming my sheep. Yelech no HaMelech v'avodav im avdecha. I personally want to invite the king to come and join us at this party. Ve'emer ha-melech el Avshalom, al b'ni, al no, ne'elech kulonu v'loy nichbad alecha. First, David HaMelech tries to come up with excuses. He says, listen, you know, if we all come, it's going to be too much for you. If I come, then I'm going to have to bring my whole entourage, all my servants, and all my waiters, and all my soldiers. It's going to be way too much for you. You won't be able to handle it. Ve'efretzboi, le'ovel aleches ve'erecheu. Avshalom tells him, no, don't worry about it, we'll be able to handle it, it'll be fine, I want you to just come. And then, David HaMelech is forced to tell him the real reason. He tells him, the truth is, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I'd rather not go, it's too much for me. Why don't you just go yourself? Now, this was all planned by Avshalom. He knew that chances are David HaMelech would not want to come and join him. He has better things to do. So he was hoping for what's about to happen next. If you're not coming, at least why don't you send the heir apparent, the oldest son, your oldest prince, who is Amnon, who is going to be the king after you. Why don't you send him instead? If you can come, at least send the second best person, who is Amnon. Why do you want him? A veifritz boy of Shalom, he works on his father. David HaMelech finally agrees, and he sends Amnon and all the other princes, all his other children, all his sons, to join the party. Vayitzav Avshalom es Nahar Avlemar. Avshalom tells his men, Ruuna katoiv lev Amnon b'yayin. When you see when Amnon got to the point where he drank enough, he's feeling good. I'm going to give you the signal, and I want you to kill Amnon on the spot. Do not fear. Don't think that you are going to be responsible. Since you are following my orders, I'm taking full responsibility. Go ahead and be the strong man that you are. And be to men of valor.
If I may break in, I came in the middle. Why does he want to wipe him out?
He wants to kill him because Amnon was the one who violated Avshalom's sister, Tamar.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Is he allowed to, you know, to send other people to kill
messengers?
Huh?
I mean, what are you saying? What?
You know, hey, I get a job for you, you know.
You mean, were,
him,
the,
you know.
Were his men allowed to listen to him?
Yeah.
That's a very good question. Chazal say that...
they goyim were they... They're all Jews.
Yeah, no, they're all Jews. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chazal say that... Ein shliach ha-dvar avera. When a person is sent to do an avera, mm-hmm. he is the one who is held responsible.
Yeah.
And not the one who sent them, right?
If he does it.
Yeah.
And especially this is a case where it's, I mean, violating one of the three... Like if it was the soldiers had fear for their life, if they, you know, might be compelled to do some other order, but... This one, they can't even use that.
Is it really? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's
is it
because
punishment or is
there's
it?
A rodef and a this and a, you know, it's a,
right.
But the pasuk says, "Have I not commanded you, be courageous?" Yes, ichisku v'hayu libei choyel, and be valiant. What does that mean? Go kill this guy because you're courageous, because you're a great friend. I told you.
No, meaning be courageous, meaning if he fights back, then be courageous and do as I told you and make sure you kill him.
Saying basically, don't worry about this guy, right? I mean,
nothing's going to happen to you.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Over here, it seems like Avshalom is taking full responsibility for the actions of his men.
He says, fear not. I mean, he's telling him to murder somebody. He doesn't give him an excuse or anything. He's telling him, be courageous. And that, I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand the reason he's giving these guys, why they should follow what he's saying.
It's a soap opera. What do you want?
He's saying it's going to be on me.
He said he could have said, get rid of him. That's all. Then he's giving him a few other things. So you're doing them like Evan, I commanded you, you know, all the time, the right things and everything else. He's giving him an excuse, it seems, from here.
Well, it's not really an excuse. He's just telling them that...
He could have just told them, kill him.
Telling them not to worry in case they think they're going to be held responsible. He's telling them, don't worry. I'm going to take full responsibility for whatever happens.
All right.
But in any case, this is kind of crime. It's not allowed to kill only because somebody made crime. This is not a good decision. One brother made crime because he did something with sister. Another killed his brother because of that. It means it's in both cases it's not kind of how to see. It's possible to it's called avenge. What is called?
Yeah, events.
Was Amnon worthy of being...
You're right.
This is not a question who is right, who is wrong.
Right. I mean, there's no question that Avshalom was not allowed to kill his sister, his brother, just because he violated his sister. We spoke about previously how a king, there are certain situations that the king is allowed to take the law into his own hands. Mm-hmm. Right? Even though, if Beis Din, if the situation would have been brought to Beis Din, right, to a Jewish court, they would not order for this man to be killed. But the king has special laws. He can conduct his own law.
Where do you find that?
We find that when David HaMelech, with the story with Nathan, when Nathan HaNavi came to David HaMelech, told him the whole story of the rich with the wealthy man, we had plenty of cattle, then he went ahead and he stole the little sheep of the poor man. What does David HaMelech answer Nathan? What should be done with the man? He should be killed. You gotta be killed for stealing a sheep? Okay, it's a horrible thing, right? You gotta pay him, whatever. But kill him? Why do you have to kill him? So the Malbim over there explains, he says, that even though the Mishpat HaShoftim, the regular rule of judges, would not apply over here, that you don't have to kill him, right, according to the regular law. However, the rule of the king goes above and beyond the law, and he can conduct according to the evil action, depending how ruthless the action was, the king can go ahead and punish the man according to his own law and according to his own reason.
So this would be, you could refer to that as extrajudicial.
Yeah.
It's called, if you're going to upset the whole country, to keep peace in the country.
Where do you find that in the Torah?
Shalom Bais.
I mean, this is, the Navi told him this now. How does he know that? Where did he get it from?
Where is David HaMelech from?
No, this it's been bothering me all the way. I mean, we're not talking about a Goyish king. We're talking about a Jewish king that has to follow all the rules. He has to read the Torah and keep them by him all the time and have all the mitzvahs and everything else. And where do you find that he can go over the Jewish court and say something like that? I mean, there has to be a basic for that. It's been bothering me the whole way, too. We're not talking about a Goyish king here.
Right.
We're talking about a Jewish person that follows what the court says.
True.
But there is a difference between the court's law and the king's law.
I get that. You're telling me that, Bryce. Where do you find that in
where do you find a precedent to that?
Huh?
Where do we find a precedent to that?
Yeah. I mean, in the Torah itself. Oh, you're telling me that we get it from what that God told him that this is okay. I mean, from then on.
Well, it says in the Pesach, Melech Peretz LeGeder Lasis LeDerech. A king is allowed to go ahead and break through a wall in order to pave his way. Now that refers to the literal term, meaning he's allowed to literally, in certain situations, he's allowed to break through a wall. He doesn't have to pay for it. But that also means that he can make his own way when it comes to the rule of the land.
I want to go. I want to bring one other thing. I want to go way back when the Jews asked Shmuel, "We want a king." They're very angry. Why? Because they wanted a king like the Goyish kings.
Right.
And he told them, no. God says, I'll give you a king, but it's got to be a Jewish king. And he's got to follow all the laws of everybody else.
No, but he told them, he said, I'm going to take your daughters to be cookers and bakers and take you for the army. You got to do the king's work.
The court. Where does that come from? He said the Jewish king is not like the Jewish king. He has to follow the rules that God said and everything else. That's what bothered me. You're telling me from what he told him that precedent. That means from then on all the kings can do that.
Shmuel was upset at them because they wanted to be like all the other nations. meaning they're saying, okay, a Navi, the man of God, is not good enough. We want to have a king. We want to have a king who's going to lead us in war. We want to have, you know, someone to look up to.
They're basically
telling Hashem, I'm not interested in the leadership of Hashem anymore.
But he said, no. He said, no, that's not the kind of king. So David's not that kind of a king. But why shouldn't he be able to do what the other kings do? Even take over against the court. I mean, that still bothers me. Where do you find it? Any place. Give me an example. Give me a pasuk in the Torah would tell you that what you can do when you have a king.
That's probably a pasuk. A melech peretz l'geder l'asas l'derech.
That's the way God runs the world, and don't ask any questions. That's all.
What do you mean, that's the way? Where does it say so? God runs the world with what it says in the Torah and what it says in the Torah.
Because you can't understand.
What Hashem told Moshe, that's what the Jewish people are supposed to do.
So Moses,
where did he tell Moshe that it's okay for a king to have more power?
Moshe
than
didn't listen
court.
Either. He hit the rock.
He did something wrong.
And he got punished.
And he got punished.
Well,
okay.
Nassan came to David and he says, "Hey, you didn't. What you did is." But you're going to be punished.
No,
you're going to be punished for it.
He's saying it's all right. He's saying it's okay.
He said it's okay, but you're going to be punished for it.
It's all right. It's all right.
The
Jewish king is not like a Goyish king. Don't give me this out of baloney.
Jewish king's
got to have a Torah with him all the time. He has to learn all and everything else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't even know where he found all the time.
It was punished. You see, look along. Wait till we go. He's going to be punished here and there.
He's not going to be punished.
He lost the son.
Punished.
All right.
We have a bracha that we say when you meet a king. Now, the definition of a king is someone who has the power of life or death over someone. So.
We find them in all the places.
As opposed to someone who's a figurehead. This is someone who has real power, and
Yeah, you're right. The power is in his hands.
Okay.
Jewish king is not holy man. He can do something wrong also. David make a different bad things. He was punished for that.
For sure. For sure.
This is what the story is. Mm-hmm. It's only Hashem is always right.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. He's only human.
That's it. Let's go a little further.
Okay. So this is what Avshalom is telling his men. I want you to murder Avshalom in cold blood. Avshalom's men follow his orders. Once Avshalom is killed, all the other sons, all the other princes of David and Melech, get up. They run away. They got onto their horse.
They were going to kill them too.
Yeah, they were terrified. So now, through all this commotion, there was much confusion as to what exactly happened. So let's see. V'yihem v'derech, as they're running away, v'ashmu aval David lemar, the rumor came to David, which said, Hika Avshalom is kol b'nei ha-melech, v'l'yinoysar mehem echot. Avshalom killed all of your sons, there is not one left. Meaning, why did this rumor come to David ha-melech? Did they actually see Avshalom kill all the princes? No.
No, he only killed one.
They figured, why is Avshalom killing Amnon, the oldest prince, the heir apparent? The obvious reason would be because he wants to be king. If he wants to be king, the best way to do it is what?
Get rid of
everybody. Get rid of all the sons. Make sure he's the only one left. Then his path is paved to be the next king.
This is a rumor, so really killed?
No. They were not killed. They were not really killed. They managed to run. I mean, they didn't manage. Avshalom was not even planning on killing them. Mm-hmm. He only planned to kill Amnon because he was upset at him for violating his sister. Mm-hmm. He wasn't planning to kill it, but they were fearing their lives. So they ran away. Now, people who saw this figure, the only reason Avshalom would be killing the prince, their parent was because he wants to take over. Mm-hmm. So that's why the rumor came to David HaMelech saying that all the sons of the king died.
But at this point today, did all the sons, did they all know what happened?
No, nobody.
To Tema, they didn't know what happened to their to Tema.
To Tamar.
Yeah.
It was public knowledge. But this was 2 years earlier. They already had. So got, they, even so Amnon himself.
So they could have figured out himself, that that's why he's killing him. Why?
Yeah, but even Amnon, it was such old news. Even Amnon himself did not suspect anything.
Right.
Because since Avshalom did not speak to him at all about this matter, he figured, okay, you know, it's old news. It was lost. It's forgotten. Who really cares? That's why he came to this party. If he was suspicious at all, he would never come to a private party of Avshalom. He would stay as far as he could away from Avshalom. Mm-hmm. But he did not suspect a thing. That's why he joined.
One question: they all ran it. They all got their mules.
Mm-hmm.
They hear. They say donkeys here, but they had
mules, donkeys. It's a
yeah. It's a
combination.
Are you allowed to ride on a parrot?
What?
Are you allowed to ride on it? It's
Kilayim.
Kilayim. Yeah.
No. Yeah. It's okay. Not a
problem. It's just to be involved in the breeding itself.
Right.
You're not allowed to breed them.
Right.
You can use them once they're alive.
Around, you can use them.
You're not allowed to breed them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's alive. It's an animal. You can use them.
Yeah.
No, you're not allowed to breed. All right. That was the question. All right.
Okay, so what does David do? Ve'yakam ha'melech, David gets up, ve'yigra es begadav, he tears his clothes, ve'yishkav ha'aretz, he lies on the floor, chalavadam mitzavim kru'ev gadim. All of his men are standing there with their clothes torn. Ve'yan Yonadav ben Shima achi David. Yonadav, who as you remember was the same guy who gave the advice to Amnon of how to be with his sister, he turns to David and he tells him, ve'yomer, Al Yomer Adoni is calling Ari Bnei Melech Hamisu. Don't think that Avshalom killed all of your sons. Ki Amnon levado meis. Amnon himself had was killed. Ki al pi Avshalom haisa shuma miyem anoisei tamar chaisei. Why would he kill only Amnon? What would be the reason? He's trying to dispute these rumors that Avshalom was trying to take over by killing all the other princes. So he's telling him, no, he's not trying to take over. That's not what it's all about. The real reason for him killing Amnon is what? Is because he's still upset about the fact that Amnon violated Tamar, his sister.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason. Vato, meaning, so David HaMelech still said, okay, so let's say that he really only wanted to kill Amnon because he was upset at him. Still, the rumors that all my sons had died still might be true because maybe all of my sons tried to protect Amnon, and throughout this battle, this little war that was going on, Avshalom ended up killing all of my other sons. That could have happened. Maybe this rumor is still correct. Even if your reasoning is true, that he just killed Amnon because he's upset at him, still, you might have killed all the other sons because they tried to protect Amnon. So don't pay attention to these rumors that all your sons are killed. Only Amnon himself was killed. I'm telling you the truth. It's just because he wanted to take revenge for his sister. Ve'evach Avshalom, because of this whole confusion, because of the whole commotion of what exactly happened, they didn't have CNN back in the days. They didn't have a live report of Avshalom's party, so they didn't know what was going on. So throughout the commotion, Avshalom managed to run away because David didn't know what was going on. He didn't have the wherewithal. He didn't have the mind space to send soldiers to chase Avshalom and capture him. So that's why he managed to escape. He managed to run away. They had a spotter, someone who was appointed to spot and see exactly what was who was coming towards the palace, and he saw a very big crowd coming from behind the mountain. I mean, because they were running away, they came from behind the mountain. he was not able to see them. So they kind of approached from behind the mountain, and he wasn't really sure who they were. Once they appeared from the other side of the mountain, it was apparent that these were the sons of the king, the remaining sons. As I told you, this is the truth. The rest of your sons are still alive. You have nothing to worry about, meaning you don't have to worry that all of your children have died. Because now we're seeing them approach the palace. As he's finishing to talk, the rest of the sons of David come, they started crying. The king and all of his men started crying. Now, this is in great contrast to the first son of David Melech who was killed. The first wasn't killed, he died. The first baby that was born from the relationship between David and Bathsheba, he died as a baby. What happened then? Throughout the whole time he was sick.
He mourned him.
He was crying and he was davening. He was sitting on the floor. He refused to eat.
The second he died,
that's when he got up. He took a shower. He wore nice clothes. He started eating. And over here, he's doing the exact opposite. Once he found out that he died, he's crying and he's mourning, because over there he was doing it for a different reason. He was doing it because, as you mentioned, he was trying to daven to Hashem, telling Hashem, please spare the child. If you want to punish me, punish me. At least spare the child. He didn't do anything wrong. That's why he was mourning while the baby was still alive. Mm-hmm. And once the baby died, there's no point in davening anymore. There's no point in fasting and repenting. Therefore, he got up. But now, it's exactly the opposite. He's mourning over the death of Avshalom. That's why he's mourning after the death.
They cried because of the son.
Which son? Amnon?
No, why are they crying?
Why are they crying?
Yeah.
Because of the death of Amnon.
Did they say anything?
Yeah, no, they're mourning over Amnon.
Yeah, no, Mom, you said Absalom by mistake.
Sorry. Yeah, no, not Absalom. Absalom is still alive. He ran away.
Yeah.
We're going to see now. Avshalom barach ve'elech el Talmai ben Amiud. He ran away. Who does he run away to? Talmai. Who was Talmai? Talmai was none other than his grandfather, the king of Kshur. Ve'isabel al-Benoi kol hayomi. Macha was his mother. Was, as we mentioned, an Isha Sefas Toyer.
This is his Goyisha.
His Goyisha grandfather.
Okay.
Macha was an Isha Sefas Toyer who converted. David found her at war. He was intimate with her once in the battlefield. She gave birth to Tamar. After she converted, she gave birth to Avshalom. So she was originally Goyish. She came from Talmai. Talmai was a father. So he's now running to his Goyish, a grandfather. Luckily, they're not relatives, but at least they're blood relatives.
Mm-hmm.
He's hoping that his grandfather will protect him. V'isaba al-Benoi kol hayomim. David is mourning over his son. V'avshalim barach v'yelech kshur v'isham shalosh shanim. So in the beginning, he spent his time with Talmai. Anywhere where Talmai went, he went with him.
Where did he eat?
What?
Where did he eat?
Where did he eat?
Who went?
Avshalim. Avshalim.
Oh, took care of her, like?
He went with Talmai. Talmai, yeah. The king, his grandfather. Anywhere Talmai went, that's where he went. He was following him around. After a while, he was afraid, since Talmai was constantly traveling, he was afraid that it might not be safe. So he stayed in Geshur, in a city, enclosed, and had all around
that's
it.
Her grandfather or her father?
That's his mother's father.
Her?
Avshalom.
Talmai's father is not Jewish.
His mother's not Jewish, right?
Yeah.
So both of their grandfathers.
V'techal
David HaMelech lotzeis el Avshalom, kinicham al Amnon kimeis. So there are two pshatim over here. What does the Loshan mean, v'techal? Techal David HaMelech. One pshat holds that tchal is the lotion of kosa nafshi. Kosa nafshi is the lotion of taiva, of desire, of longing. David was longing to the closeness, to the relationship he had with Avshalom. He missed him, and that's why we're going to start now the next parak. We have a few more minutes. We'll see what happens. However, the Ma'ab learns differently. He holds that v'tachal means a language of stopping. Mm-hmm. Meaning what happened was, David wanted to send after Avshalom to capture him and to punish him for what he had done. However, his mother, Ma'acha, stopped him from doing so. V'tachal is a lotion of kele. Kele is a jail to withhold. She held him back from killing of Shalom, because David was still upset at him. So there we have two opposite pshatim of how to understand this pasuk. Either he was longing to the closeness of Shalom, or he really was upset at him, and his mother stopped David from punishing him.
So I have a question here. So it says, "Vaytabel al beno kol hayamim." So he was mourning all of his life, and then like the next pasuk, it says, you know, once he was pining for Avshalom, that it's like he became consoled over Amnon.
Yeah.
So that seems to, like, if he mourned all his life, then all of a sudden he's not mourning for him anymore.
He didn't mourn for Amnon.
For Amnon, yeah.
Because he died, but the other ones, Avshalom is still alive, and he hasn't seen him for... few years. Couple of years.
Oh, yeah, no, I understand. I'm just saying.
So, Tatchal David HaMelech, let's say, A'el Avshalom. What does that mean? You said he wants to kill him.
So, there's two pshatim. One pshat is that he wanted to kill him. Tatchal is the lost.
I mean, in English, he says longing for Avshalom.
Right, so that's one pshat. One pshat means that's the Mitzvah David, the Radak learned that it's the lotion of longing.
He missed him.
That's one pshat. Mm-hmm. There's another pshat that Tatchal, this is how the Mabim learns, Tatchal is the lotion of stopping, of holding back. Meaning David was still upset at Avshalom, he wanted to punish him. But his mother, Macha, stopped David from punishing him. Punishing Avshalom. Mm-hmm. Tachal is the lotion of kele. Kele is a jail.
A mother's love for a child is different than a father's.
Yes. Yeah. So back to your question, Richard. So you're saying that what? V'savol b'nai kol yomim, that means...
And over Amnon, he's mourning for his whole life. Kol hayamim, all of his days. And then... You know, according to the pshat that he was longing for
Avshalom. Well, it's two different sons.
Right.
Benoi over here is Amnon.
But he was longing for him, and then it says ki nicham al Amnon.
Ki nocham al Amnon. Ki
so
means because Amnon was dead. Okay,
right.
It's a connection.
Right, so the Ralbach explains...
He's talking about Absalom ran away. Now, either he wants to get him, because... Mm-hmm. Or anyway, but key... What's key means always because Absalom was dead, he was comforted. Because he...
Right.
I mean...
So you're saying, so you understand more... So you're saying that it fits more with the first pshat, that he was longing for Avshalom.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So according to the Malbim, the way he understands this is that that the reason why Macha, his mother, held David back was because she saw that he was consoled for the death of Amnon. Meaning once she saw that he was consoled... That's why she said, okay, there's no point in you punishing him. See, you already consoled mm-hmm. for his death, so what's the point of punishing him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he still committed a crime.
So
this
is interesting because...
right, okay, so now we're going to see. So that means that you should kill your second son? Okay, we're going to... What?
He was ordered to do this.
Who was ordered?
Avshalom was told to kill
Avshalom's men.
Yeah, Avshalom's men.
Avshalom's men were told.
Was the one who decided it.
Yeah, Avshalom's men were the ones who told him. Mm-hmm. Were the ones who were told. Avshalom decided on his own. This was his idea.
Right. This was not... okay.
So I don't know. Maybe it's just... because I notice, like, here... I mean, when I'm reading... Vaitabel al beno kol hayamim... that sounds like it means all of his days. For his whole life he was doing...
Right, now.
Here so it says for many... in the translation, it says for many years.
Right. No, so the Ralbag explains that kol hayamim, meaning... Chazal say that you're only supposed to mourn over someone for the first year.
Yeah.
Right. After a first year, Gzeirel al meis
sheishtaka
chamin aleiv. Right. Hashem brought down chesed so people can move forward in life without having this constant memory. Right.
You'll get sick
of their beloved.
You go crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, why did this happen?
They use Yaakov Avinu mourning over Yosef because, like, he apparently knew he wasn't dead. So
right.
It's like
yeah.
A contrast the normal.
Right. Right.
Right.
The normal situation: a person is supposed to mourn over a son only over any beloved relative.
You're allowed to cry for 3 days.
Right.
After 3 days. That.
Yeah.
Right. There's, so there's levels. There's the shiva where there's intense mourning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's the shleishim, which is still mourning, but on a lower level.
Yeah.
And then there's the whole year. Right.
Oh. Why didn't Dovid do something about that when it happened? He knew, he found out what happened. Didn't do anything.
Amnon was killed?
Yeah. Didn't do anything.
My boy is a very good boy. That's what they all say.
Quiet. Let me finish. Now he could understand why Avshalom killed him. He wasn't his hatred. He did it because of the right there. Maybe what it means over here that he missed them because Avshalom took revenge. He shouldn't have, but just like David didn't do anything when Amnon did this to her, he could be longing for Avshalom did this because of that Maisa. He didn't do it for any other reason.
Mm-hmm. Did Otto
Rishon kill
his son?
He understood why he did it, and therefore he was longing for him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why, like this, he'd be chasing him. I mean, he's a murderer, all right?
Right.
I mean,
don't try to understand this. It's...
Again, it doesn't mean that he did the right thing.
It's too deep for your mind and my mind.
It's too deep for my mind. It's too deep for you to ask the question.
Did Otto Rishon kill his...
You don't learn anything.
Did
Otto
Rishon kill his son? No.
If something bothers you, you ask a question and you get an answer. That's all.
You might not like the answer, but that's
there's
the way.
There's words are written in here that are extra. Key. You don't have to say key. Every word in there, every word that's written down means something. They learned something from it.
Yeah.
It seems because Nochem he was confident because the other one.
Right.
So he had a longing for Avshalom. So I'm trying to say it's because he understood why Avshalom did it.
Right.
No, but in Russian, this is simpler.
Yeah, definitely.
He was lost his son, one son, and actually didn't want to lose another one.
Right, okay, so that we're going to see in the next paragraph.
That's
we're going to see.
That's what you're going to see.
What's the best way to deal with it?
Yeah.
At least to have one, because if he never come back, it means another one also lost.
Right, right, exactly. So that's
the reason why he is longing to meet him.
That's the next week's show.
Yeah, that's the conflict. what's the best thing to do? So just to, again, to answer your question, Richard, so the Ralbag explains, again, you're supposed to mourn only for 1 year, right? So the Ralbag explains, what does kol hayamim mean? Kol hayamim means it's including the ma'adim as well. Even on Yontif, during the first year, he was still mourning over his son. Even though you're really not supposed to mourn on Yontif, but because it was his oldest son, the mourning was so deep that he even mourned him during the Yontif. That's what it means, kol hayamim.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll stop here, guys, and we'll continue next week. We'll see how David deals with this very complicated situation.
Turn in for the next chapter.
Yes.
Okay.